Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you that we can come together and worship you and, you know, gather as a body of Christ, God, to looking to you, to the mighty things that you do. And so, God, we give this service to you. And also, Lord, we pray for all the young adults going on the tubing. I pray that you keep them safe there and back. It'd be an enjoyable time, God. Be a refreshing time. Protect Drew and Fran and Greg and Sophie, Lord, that they would be encouraged also. And so, Lord, your hand upon them. Just thank you that they can go together and let it be just a divine meeting. And, Lord, I pray this morning, too, you'd really speak to us, open our eyes, show us something here that we've never seen before. Show us something here that we can step out and be able to hear from you and be able to see you, God, work in a mighty way. And I pray you'd anoint me, the Spirit. I just speak forth things of the Spirit, and I pray you open each heart in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. So we'll be in Isaiah, so you can want to turn there. We'll have the verses up here on the screen as we go over them. But Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. It says this: "The Lord has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught." Now, the message this morning is on being teachable. You know, most of the times you hear a message on being teachable, it's usually, you know, in a Sunday school class, a Bible teacher or something like that, being teachable with one another, that type. This morning, it's teachable, but the fact of it, it's teachable, if you will, it's teachable, is God's teaching us. How teachable are we when God is teaching us? And that's where it is, that truly, are we teachable? Are we teachable? Can God teach us anything, truly? And this is what this gets at. The question is, are we teachable before God? Now, as we look at this verse, there's some interesting words here. They're fascinating to me. And I want to look at those first before I go over. It's kind of the big picture here. And the first one, as you can see on the screen, I have it underlined, is taught. Okay, taught. I mean, it stands alone. But the word originally means, I mean, it has a expanded meaning, a taught. And it means to listen like one being instructed. You know, we go, oh, taught. But it's to listen like one being instructed. You know, I guess you got to listen to somebody and you're not paying any attention to them, you know. But no, this is to listen like one being instructed. And so you see that word used twice there in this phrase, and that's the expanded meaning. Now, the other word there that's kind of fascinating, and it's the one underlined, it's sustain. You know, it works just fine, sustain. But it has a little broader meaning also. And it has idea, like when we're being taught, okay, we're being taught, and what happens is we are able to exercise an effective spoken ministry. Does that make sense? If we've been taught, then we have the ability to exercise an effective spoken ministry. Well, tied in here, that's to know the word that sustains, the word that sustains. And the verb translated sustain is not found anywhere else in Scripture. Now, that should cause everybody, you got to be kidding me. This is the only place in Scripture that this word shows up. And, I mean, if you look at God's infinite breathing out the Word of God, and you only want to use this once. This is the one time you want to use it. Well, he uses it here, sustain. And it has a meaning. It has a meaning like to shepherd, to care for, but the oldest use of it, it means to speak a word in season. To speak a word in season. And so you have that thought here when it says, that I may know how to sustain a word. That I may know how to speak a word in season. Not just speak a word. So you can see the depth in what the Lord is saying here. And who are the words you speak to? To him who is weary. Okay, so you can, okay, I can grasp. You're weary. Well, that word too has an expanded meaning, and I think we're all going to relate with this, weary. And it means fainting under life's demands. It's that kind of weary. It's just like, yeah, I don't know if I can do this. I'm tired. I don't know. So it's life's demands. When it says weary, it's fainting under life's demands. And so the verse gives us God's view of someone who's teachable and what God's going to do with a person who's teachable. So there's a lot packed up in this. So let's look at it, just flow through it. It says, the Lord God has given me a tongue, and that means like the ability to speak. God has given me a tongue of those who listen like one who's being instructed. So I have a tongue because I've listened and I've been instructed. I've listened like one who's been instructed. I paid attention. I think. And why I've listened like him who's been instructed, that there's a reason, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary, so that I will know how to speak in season, speak a word in season to him who's fainting under life's demands. You know, it's kind of, God's making us useful, okay? I mean, he literally is. I'm doing something, I'm making you useful here, but it's from this relationship with the Lord. And then it goes on to say, then morning by morning, God awakens. God awakens my ear to hear as those who listen like one who are being instructed. So when I see that, this is kind of heavy, you know, this is kind of has a depth of meaning here in what God is telling us, what he's doing with us, and how he wants us to be teachable because he's using. Now, God's teaching us, okay? And so when we're hearing what God has to say, he's teaching us, and then all of a sudden we become this deposit of God's word in which we're able to speak out to others because we're teachable, okay? Because we're teachable. And again, those that are teachable, they speak a word that's due in the time of season. Isn't that, you ever say something that's like, good word, wrong time? You know, I have, you know, that's a good word now. Wrong time. I do that with Linda all the time. I have all sorts of good words for her. But it's usually at the wrong time. Wrong time. Now, so what I did with the same verse that got, substituted in the extended definitions, okay, on this word, on this verse. And so I will read it to you with the expanded definition. And again, see what God is trying to tell us. Because how does it start off? The Lord has given me. So it's, you know, so he's telling us something. He's telling us something. We need to pay attention to learn from it. This is what he's given us. So here's the expanded definition. The Lord has given me the tongue of those who listen like one being instructed, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him who is fainting under life's demands. Morning by morning, he awakens my ear to hear as those who listen like one being instructed. Whoa. See, now, that last part, you know, first clause there is that he's given me, and the last thing is he said, he's telling us, I'm going to wake you up so I can tell you. I'm going to wake you up. He's given it to me, but in that last phrase said, he's going to wake me up and give me an ear so he can tell me. He can tell me. So it kind of comes down, God's doing his part. You ever notice that in life? He's doing his part. And usually when I disagree or people disagree, it's usually because we're not doing our part, you know, or don't understand his part or anything. But he's telling us, no, I've done what's necessary. And I'm waking you up morning by morning to tell you. He's kind of saying, I'm showing up. Where are you? I'm showing up. Where are you? Now, so the meaning when we're looking at this, and we will make it, apply it to ourselves. See, when we're teachable, God tells us of an experience. Now, boy, I'm into the Word, and the Word is the most important thing. We don't live all the experience, but when we're in the Word, there's associated experience. There's associated experience, all right? Because it's the Word of God. You're interacting with God. There's an associated experience if we're listening. So when we're teachable, God tells us of an experience. He awakens. He awakens. Something stirred. He awakens. Something happened with our heart. He awakens. And also there's a time. There's a time. He awakens here in the morning. He awakens in the morning. And there's a regularity. He awakens morning by morning. See, he just keeps awakening in us morning by morning. He shows up every morning whether we do or not. See? And so you have that picture. And there's a reason he awakens us. There's a reason he awakens us. So our ear can listen. So our ear can listen. And the point is that we would have a receptive heart, that we have an ear that listens like one being taught. What do you have to say, Lord? What do you have to say? So that whole dynamic is related there. And the whole definition, this is in essence what it means to be a disciple. And you see where the words taught are up there? Some versions of the Bible use disciple instead of taught. See? Because they recognize the expanded meaning. It's more than just being taught. It's a disciple. It's one who's listening the instruction and they're taking it. So it's a disciple. So they put the expanded meaning, disciple, there where taught is. So wake me up like a disciple. He wakes his disciples up. You know, because they're the ones being taught. Ones being taught on this. Now, so in this context, what God's saying, I'm going to waken you up. I've got something for you to do. I'm going to wake you up. And in the morning by morning, morning by morning, discipleship is where the servant learns the Lord's will. Right? This wakes you up as a disciple. So morning by morning, the discipleship is where he wakes you up to learn the Lord's will. Why is he waking you up? To learn the Lord's will. I've shared with you before, you know, a couple of gentlemen that I've, several gentlemen I've, in my life I've run across and had opportunities to disciple me that were just kind of out different, all right? It's like, oh my goodness. And one, the first time I ever saw this verse, I'd read it several times before, but the first time I came near to understanding was when the gentleman that I've mentioned before, Bill Wright, explained it. And he was to a group like this. I'm going, you're kidding me. You know, it was like, you're kidding me. And he would say that he would never leave the house. And they used the word never. And I believe him. Okay, I believe him. He said, I never leave the house until I spend time with the Lord and he tells me what to expect that day. I mean, that, when you look at, well, that's what that says. Son of a God. I mean, not only does it say that, there's somebody actually doing it. I mean, that's even more surprising. He says, no, because what you have, you wake up and then you want to spend time with the Lord to discern the Lord's will before you move out that day. And that's how he spent every day. And he said, I will not leave the house unless I spend time with the Lord that day. Okay, you know. And I shared before and we, before that the Lord, and this is what may happen to you. Who knows? This will scare you to death. No, it may encourage you. It won't scare you. And the Lord told him to go to China. Lord told him to go to China. So he learned the Chinese language, and he's in China today. Not only is he in China, he opened a law firm. And how many of you here would like to open a law firm here? Would that be a challenge? Come on. Would that be a challenge? Say, I'm going to open a law firm here. You know, and just, you know, the things that would go to it. The Lord told him to learn Chinese. We just told him to go to China. I think he thought, I need to learn Chinese to go to China. So he learned Chinese, and he opens a law firm in China. You know, he says, and I assume today he is not doing anything until the Lord tells him to. We had a gentleman here, and I shared this before. So he, you know, I think he's checking up on me. Maybe not. So he Googled his name. And you can Google Bill Wright, William Wright. And he told me he's in Beijing, and he's the head of a law firm. It's on Google. So if you want to check up on him. But this is where I heard this verse from. Some 30 years ago. So the point of it is, we read the word, we go through, understand, and we just kind of go through the emotions, we hear stuff, and just kind of, you know, treading water, or something. Or you hear something, and you go, no, morning by morning, and I'm going to hear what the Lord says, and I'm going to do day by day, and I'm going to hear the Lord's will, and I'm going to apply that. And you take it in heart, because God is God. Things happen, and it says right here, we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be surprised. So, as an encouragement, we look at that and think about, oh my, this is discipleship. This is discipleship. And so we think about that the Lord is teaching us. Now, it's important for us to grab this, and you think about what he said. And again, he's, you know, you can say things, but actually you have someone who actually says it and does it. Okay? You know, that's, he did this. He, and I assume he still, each day you hear something, then you go out. Each day you hear something, and then you go out and spend the time with the Lord. Now, it's important to grasp onto this, because it is important to be teachable. See, he would be a picture of someone who is teachable, you know, and he was doing what the Lord told him to. It wasn't just a, hey, this is a good idea. I'm going to learn Chinese and go to China and start a law firm. Now, who in here would think that's a good idea? I don't think that's a good idea. I think that was really a dumb idea. And he didn't think, but the Lord told him to. Therefore, because the Lord told him to, it became a good idea. You know. And then he followed through, and the Lord blessed it. And that's where he is to this day. So it's important to be teachable, because we can expect moments of this life of walking in darkness in this world. Amen. Now that's one all believers can agree on. That we walk in darkness of this world. And we walk through times where it is so dark, and we just wonder, like, God, I don't know where you are in this. It is so dark, but we keep walking. And when we are faced in walking in faithful, we're faced with walking in faithful obedience to the light of what God has told us. That's one choice. To walk in faithful obedience in this darkness, which ultimately will lead us to vindication. Right? Now it's dark. We don't see anything. But something has been told us, and we're hanging on to what God told us. So we continue to walk in the darkness, no matter what else is going on around us. And as we walk in that darkness, we're trusting in the light that God gave us, and that's all we have. Now, that's going to happen to every single believer. It's going to happen to every single believer. It's going to be totally dark, and you're walking into that glimmer of light that God has given you. And we have the choice of walking in that, leading us to vindication. Or, this is the other thing, we can walk in the light of our own self-will, leading to endless miseries. See, now notice I said the light of our own self-will. Because as we're walking in this darkness, I mean, we're not sure what's going to happen, we're concerned, and it doesn't look good, and all we're trusting on is light about what God says, or we have this idea. We have this way to strike a match. We have this way to get a torch. We have this way to get this light, and we can get out of this darkness through our self-will, that leads to our own endless miseries. Now, doesn't that explain where the world is? They're walking by the light of their own plans without God, and that's where it gets you. Now, this really does determine the nature of our existence on planet Earth, right here. I mean, this is it. This planet Earth, this is how we're going to live our life, one of these two ways. And it explains how things, what's going to happen and how things are going to happen. Therefore, God, what he does in this section, he gives us a warning about walking in our own light versus God's light. Okay, we're going to do something different than what it says up in verse 4 here. Instead of getting up, hearing, and doing what God says and moving, we're going, no, we're going to work this out in our own way. So God warns us. Any good? God warns us. I want you to look at Isaiah 50, verse 11, how he warns us. Now, this is really helpful, by the way. If you look at this and you apply it, you know, and you think, oh, my goodness, and you can see God's hand direct. How many, oh, God, that's what God's doing, and how he's directing, what he's doing, what he has for me. You know, well, this is what he's telling us. He's telling us this is how everybody's different. Everybody has different walks. Everybody has different directions. But he says, I'm telling you how to grasp hold of what I'm doing here. Now, so here's this picture warning about walking in our own light and God's light. And by the way, it's in context, Isaiah 50, verse 11. We're going down. So here it is. But now, all of you who light fires. Now you're reading, what? What does he mean? Remember, it's dark. You know where you're going. Now to all of you who light fires, who make your own light. That's who he's talking to, all of you who make your own light. But now, all of you who light fires and provide yourself with flaming torches. You know, we're scooting along. It ain't that dark. You know, I lit this torch. It's not that dark. You know, I mean, I'm sitting here, and Jesus gave me a little glimmer and going up, and I'm sure he gave me the wisdom to light this torch. Now I see all these possibilities. Anyway, you see this. But now, all you who light fires and provide yourselves with flaming torches. Now, this is what God says. You lit a fire, you have a flaming torch, this is what God says to you. Go. Walk in the light of your fires. You got it. You remember the message we gave a while back, you know, and I said, if you don't trust the Lord and you do it on your own, he goes, you own it. This is what he's saying. Go. You own it. Go ahead. He's not, oh, stop, don't do that. Oh, my gosh, all this stuff's going to happen. That's not how he works. He goes, no, go on. You own it. It's yours. Go on. So he'll tell you. He goes, I got this torch. What do you say, God? He goes, you own it. Go ahead. We have the choice here. So go walk in the light of your fires and in the torches you have set ablaze. Now, look at the last part of this. Go ahead and do it. This is what you will receive from my hand. You will lie down in torment. So there's the picture. Now, again, it's on being teachable. It's on being teachable. We're going back to verse 4, and it's like, oh, my goodness, he's waking me up. He's giving me a tongue. One who listens like one being instructed. I have a word in due season. Oh my, you wake me every morning. He's going to tell me. I got this better idea. He goes, go ahead. You own it. Go ahead. You own it. Now, so you have the picture here where God is warning us that there is a light And so what we do, we have this light. We're walking in this dark spot. And all the light we have is this glimmer of what God told us, which totally is inconsistent to everything around us. And we're going, oh, my God, I don't know. The whole world's going this way. Oh, my goodness, you're holding on. That's all the light I have. And then the option is, oh, I got this idea how to get out of this. And the light, I can see. God, what do you think? He goes, go for it. Now, remember, he told us first what to do. So we ask a second time, I want to do this. Go for it. We see Jesus doing the same thing. You know, you notice Jesus, he never got in an argument. You know, so it's just like, I'm telling you, now evaluate it. Now, look at this. So here we got the whole idea of walking in God's light or in our light. Now, look what Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Translate that for me. You know, what do you mean? You're the light of the world. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. God, this is dark. Everything's coming in. It's just, I mean, the dark is so heavy you can almost touch it. What am I supposed to do? He says, walk in the light that you have. Walk in the light of Jesus, and we're going to get through this, and it's going to lead out to vindication and a blessing for you. Now you, but everything, that's right, all you have is me. All you have is me. But I got this torch, and look at the possibilities. God, what about this? He goes, go for it. Go for it. Now that, you know, so we have a choice. That light that Jesus told us didn't go out. We just put something beside it, you know. He says, what do you think? He says, do what you want to. Do what you want to. Now, so here's this whole process. And we're learning about being teachable. Of course, if you read something like this, it just scared the living daylights out of you. You know, I better be teachable. Like, whoa, you know, there's a consequence for not being teachable. But that is true. There is a consequence for not being teachable. So what happens here in this section of Scripture, what this suggests is, I'm going to read this because the sentence is kind of long, but what this suggests is that walking through a dark season in life, anybody relate with that? Okay, walking through a dark season in life, yet being faithful to Christ has more light to it than walking in the shining brilliance of your own plans. Amen? See, so that's what this verse is saying. And what should be encouraging to us, because we're all going to walk through dark places, just because this is what God said, that it didn't cause a dark place. We're all going to walk through deeply dark places. But when it comes up, if we are faithful to Christ, it has more light for what God wants to do than walking in our shining brilliance. See, that's what the Lord says. That's how he's looking. He's trying to tell us here. Now, God did not promise we'd never be confused, distraught, or concerned, okay? He did promise that he would never leave us or forsake us, in Hebrews 13:5. It says, and even when we can't see him, he does surround us and guard us and lead us forward. See, and all we have is him. But we have him because of faith, not because of circumstances. And so we know that he's leading us, surrounding us, and guarding us.